This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Chen Li and Philip. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been avidly following the debate on Malaysia's 5G deployment that's taking place through a series of open letters sparked by Bangi MP YB Ong Kian Ming recently. Now, Malaysia's 5G rollout remains stalled as major telcos have yet to sign up to the wholesale network administered by Digital National Berhad, or DNB, the state-owned special purpose vehicle under MOF Inc.
To recap, under the single wholesale network plan, DNB would hold all 5G spectrum rights as well as build and maintain the entire network, with operators using the infrastructure to provide mobile services. However, telco carriers have expressed concern that the arrangement would result in a nationalized monopoly of 5G access.
Now, they've proposed a dual wholesale network model run by a consortium of private players as an alternative. In the face of telco objections, the government has yet to sign off completely on the single wholesale network model for 5G, and Cabinet is due to deliberate on the different proposals on the table.
So joining us on the line to discuss this is Brett Han, telecommunications and 5G expert, who has also advised various governments on wholesale networks. Brett, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. Now, very few countries are rolling out national 5G via a single wholesale network, or SWN. So Malaysia is an experiment of sorts. What are the necessary ingredients for this unproven model to actually work?
Thank you very much. And first, thank you for allowing me to talk today. I would say, actually, I think it's a proven model, just a little bit. It may be new and innovative, but there are many countries who have adopted new ways of addressing 5G rollout and 4G rollout. So that said, I think one of the things that the DNB can do, which would be very good, which I think they are doing, is have a plan that creates clarity, and that in turn creates confidence in the marketplace, with the operators, with international finance, with enterprises, and your average citizen. So once that you have that clarity and you can kind of create a plan around that, then people will know what the DNB is doing, when they're going to do it, and how they can do it. And so they can be measured and people can make plans around it.
But that's the problem, isn't it? You know, you have a plan, but the issue is, can you execute the plan? And whether we have the right governance structure to execute this plan, because the infrastructure sits with the regulated entity in the government, isn't it? That's the challenge we have here, that we have the plan, but we can't execute.
Well, I think you have a plan, and execution is just one element of the plan. And I think, you know, and obviously I'm not speaking for Ericsson, but Ericsson's a very good company. I think they've built networks globally. They can build out this network. I think the other part to it is to have stakeholder engagement. So as I said, people know what the DNB is doing, why they're doing it, and how they're going to do it. And so I think part of that is DNB working with A, the regulator, B, other government stakeholders, C, the carriers, and D, other new entrants. Private 5G enterprise is a huge new field, and there are people are very interested in this market for wholesale networks and private enterprise. So, for example, Eric Schmidt, the former Google chairman, is a strong supporter of wholesale networks because wholesale networks can help on cloud computing, data centers, and overall job growth.
The consensus seems to be that single wholesale networks are good for consumers but bad for telcos. Would you agree that's the case?
Well, I think what single wholesale networks are really good is for a country. So I'll give an example. It's slightly different, but it's within the same room, that Germany allocated 100 megahertz of spectrum specifically for private enterprise 5G at an admin fee, basically $1,000 a year, let's say. The goal of Germany was to create private enterprise 5G because manufacturing is key to the German economy. So yes, telcos have a very important role to play, but also 5G has other opportunities and other stakeholders that can use it, such as manufacturing, ports, universities, other enterprises. So while the telcos have a clear role, the great thing about, I think, 5G is the opportunity for other new stakeholders to participate in overall job creation and economic growth. That's why Germany allocated the spectrum for private enterprise. That's why I think that SWN here could be a very powerful new factor in your economy.
So can you help me clarify, Germany uses SWN, single wholesale network?
No, what Germany did is they allocated 100 megahertz of spectrum for private enterprise 5G at a admin fee. So there are two large macro models. On one side, you have the traditional auction model that you're going to auction the spectrum and that the carriers pay for the spectrum and they use the spectrum in their own area, kind of what's called normally the walled garden. The other side is a non-auction model where the regulator in the country decides not to have temporary benefits to the treasury from auctioning the revenue, but rather has a longer-term view. And within the non-auction model, there are many different variations. The German variation, there's the public-private partnerships in the United States. There are the single wholesale networks. But the key element, which is very common to them, is they're not your traditional traditional auction model.
All right.
And if I can add, because I get choked up on this, but if I can add, one thing that COVID has revealed is that the digital divide across the globe is wider and deeper than people anticipated. So I do think we need to open ourselves up to solutions that can help provide digital divide broadband services to the entire country. And SWN is one of those alternatives.
Okay, I hear you, Brett. But as you said, SWN is an alternative among a range of alternatives. So I think the question is why this particular model? And one of the concerns that have been raised is that Malaysia's SWN, the DNB, it's not really a neutral party. It's fully owned by the Ministry of Finance. And the government itself is the regulatory body over DNB. So, I mean, wouldn't that affect perceptions of fairness in pricing for telcos, among other issues in terms of conflict of interest? Yeah, what do you think about that?
In fact, I see it slightly different. I think actually it gives the telcos and the country confidence in the marketplace because, the telcos will be able to see that the DNB charges the same price, the same service to everybody in a very transparent and non-discriminatory manner. That puts, at the infrastructure level, all the players on the same field. So I know what the cost of spectrum is going to be, and I know that the cost of spectrum will be the same for me as it is for somebody else. It is a utility-like model. Also, for new entrants to the field, they have the same opportunity to make their business plans. So they understand, 5G for these services is going to cost this much from the DNB, and I can now make my plans around it. So I think that transparency and non-discriminatory approach is very fair and very good.
But
I will reflect on one other point. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, just help me understand, right? This point about transparency, can't you even have that with, let's say, an alternative, like with the dual wholesale network? Because, as a layman, the concern is that this is essentially a nationalized monopoly, right? So wouldn't you still be able to impose or have that transparency if we offer options for private players to run the network?
Well, there's two different issues. There's one, the single wholesale network, and two, the proposal for a dual wholesale network. Now, to be quite honest, I believe that the dual wholesale networks create confusion in a marketplace. And I'm not a strong advocate of them, the dual concept, simply because you'll have in parallel, as far as I understand it, two wholesale networks, and then they will converge at some point. Mm-hmm. What is known in the field as structural and functional separation. You have a firm and you have to split it apart. Functionally, you separate it apart, and then structurally, you're creating two different items, two different firms. It's very, very hard to do in the telecommunications field. It took the UK almost a decade to do functional and then structural separation and open wave. I use the phrase that trying to unscramble that egg is really, really hard. I think it would be much more elegant, create more confidence and clarity in the marketplace to have the SWN be the main point of contact on that. And I would like to reflect on one other point, given that I've spent years in this field. We've heard many of these same arguments and discussions. In the late 1990s, dating myself, we did the World Trade Organization Basic Telecom Agreement, because around the globe, countries, companies, and citizens recognized that the telecommunications marketplace needed to be liberalized, and hence the WTO BTA. At that moment, many of the incumbent carriers were frankly screaming that this would be the end of the world. We can't do this. It's going to be complicated. It'll kill their businesses, et cetera. And as my former chairman, Reed Hunt, said at the time, incumbents always claim that they're about to go out of business, but I've yet to see one go out of business.
Okay. All right.
Flash forward 20-some years, we're in the same spot.
Brett, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Brett Han, telecommunications and 5G expert, weighing in on why he thinks the single wholesale network can bring benefit to Malaysia as a country, but whether all the players in the ecosystem buy into that argument, that still remains to be seen.
I see the point that you want to make sure that you have some control over the rollout to basically provide and accelerate access to rural and semi-urban locations. I see the logic. But, you know, back to his point about transparency, I guess the question here is, what is the price going to be charged from DNB to the MNOs, right? And what is the contention there over the pricing mechanism?
I think one of the objectives of having a single wholesale network is also to allow more new players to join the market. So that would introduce a lot of competition to the existing players. And probably this is why they're all crying out now for a dual network instead.
Yeah, okay. That's a very good point, right? Which is the point about pricing, whether it's too high or too low, right? Too low perhaps brings down the barriers of entry and allows other people to come into the market, which then crimps all the nice margins that telcos have at the moment. That's also one concern, right? Another concern, of course, is if it's too high, then of course it makes the margins even under a lot of pressure, because, you know, essentially you're at the behest of a monopoly provider. So I think that's where the concern is from the MNOs, right? On both sides, you make it too low, you end up creating, reduce the barriers of entry. You make it too high, you reduce margins in offering the service you offer.
Well, this obviously is a contentious issue for the parties involved. And the fact remains that Malaysia's 5G rollout is behind other countries in ASEAN.
Yeah.
You know, will this be stalled even further because of whatever disputes that are ongoing in the industry remains to be seen. I think there's been a lot of back and forth between policymakers and also DNB and trying to engage MNOs as well. So we'll be following how the conversation goes.
You're absolutely right, because we have still not got a final decision on what to do. As you said, right, Cabinet is still deliberating, and I think this inertia and backward and forward is not helping. So let's hope all the parties are on the table and work out a solution as soon as possible, because we need to get this going ASAP.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.